Anne.
And welcome.
It's the Graveyard Girls. Welcome to our witch trial season.
And this is another one of Natasha's individual cases today.
Yes, it's the Icelandic and Finnish witch trials.
Ooh.
Because they are similar to each other.
Okay.
So I'll just jump straight into it. In Iceland, magic and supernatural powers played an important role in the popular folk belief.
Yeah.
It was divided into two categories. The first category was Galdor, which is good slash white, or bad, which is black spells performed by Galdra masters.
Ooh.
By the help of magic symbols, magic books, runes, or vocally.
I quite like the sound of this already.
This is why I really like Iceland, because they still have these types of symbols around.
There seems so much more magic.
Yes.
Like, not Disney, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's more real. It's more whimsical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not lighthearted, but also a bit lighthearted, like in the sense, I don't know, more enjoyable. Like the rest of it, it's like grotesque torture.
Mm.
Everything's shit and bad.
This is more,
still got an air of magic.
Yeah, it's more natural.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be one of those assholes and be like, I've been there. But because I've been there, it's like, it feels like it's in the air.
Ooh.
It's part of their culture. It's part of their land. You feel it when you're there.
Because
it feels like it's like a place that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Ooh. So it's like its own magical place anyway.
Yeah, because that's what it feels like. It feels like, well, when I went, it felt like I was in like this weird Christmas village that was at the end of the world.
Ooh.
That like,
I bet if you went as a child, you genuinely would think it was like a magic land.
Yeah, because I remember being in a hotel and I could look out the window in the restaurant and you could just see like a massive mountain in the distance, and it was amazing because it's like over the sea and it's just,
ooh.
I can't explain it. We should go.
We do need
you'd like it.
It's very expensive. I need some pennies sorry. First.
Very expensive. So yeah, it's a very traditional thing throughout. It's been there since people have been on the island.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's like it's grown with them.
I quite like that.
Mm. So this is why it's slightly different with the trials.
Okay.
The second category was the Falkni, which referred to wisdom or knowledge of the unknown, which was necessary to manage and use Galdur correctly, although one could exist without the other.
Right, okay.
So it's better if you referred to Falkni, but you didn't need it.
Okay.
This view of magic was part of the Old Norse culture, and it survived on Iceland more undisturbed after Christianization than in any other Nordic country.
Ooh.
So I think that's why it's still there today.
Yeah.
Because do you see that little wooden thing behind you?
Yes.
That's from Iceland.
Oh.
I can't remember what it means. I think it's not protection, but it was kind of like to find your way.
So they're quite into like their runes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like this.
Mm. There's a shop from Iceland where you can just get jewellery just with different runes.
Oh.
So I quite like it. It's really good.
We should go back to writing in like runes and stuff.
Yeah, I do quite like them. I like symbolism and meaning, and that's why I quite like this country.
Because you never learn about that sort of thing in school. No. Like it should be something that's on the curriculum, I think. Bring it back.
Like witchcraft.
Yeah.
Maybe they teach it in Iceland. Maybe.
I feel like I'd love to have like a herbiologist. I can't even say the word.
Herbiologist.
But like have that as a class.
Mm.
So you have to be a big, like a massive greenhouse sort of thing with like loads of different plants. Like I know they're not going to let the kids have the poisonous plants.
No.
But at the same time.
Well, think of it this way. You could do it yourself.
I mean, I can do it myself.
Yeah.
But also, can you imagine now as a child how cool that would be?
Oh, yeah.
If you went back to school.
If I had a kid, this is how I'd be teaching them.
Yeah. And then just send them to mainstream school. Teach them better stuff. I think we could. No, actually, that's not fair. I won't say we could do a better job than teachers. But I think we have quite a good view on the whole, especially at a younger age. I think you could instill quite a lot of meaning and good sort of stuff. And then you'd have to send them to mainstream school for, I don't know, secondary school.
Yeah, because I think the younger they are and they like learn simple things of like the herbs and stuff, I think it might make them more grounded, more aware of who they are.
I think as well, when young kids pick up stuff so much quicker than you realise. Like you look at other countries, like those that like demand that children learn a second language pretty much from birth. Like, they just naturally pick it up. They don't really think about it. And I think that's where we've gone a bit wrong in the UK as well, is how much pressure we put on it at a young age. We do it the wrong way. We focus on, like, reading and writing and maths, like, from, like, the age of four.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit too early. I think you need to let kids sort of play a bit more and explore and learn things more visual and like a physical sort of play, like through play.
Yeah, it'll make them more considerate, I think, when they're older.
Yeah. You've got to learn those. I think you should learn social skills before you learn all the other stuff. I think the other stuff will come naturally.
Yeah.
Once you've learned the others. I think we missed a trick there.
There you go. We can run the country.
There we go. Vote for us.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, because there'd also be a lot of laws I'd bring in on people that annoy the crap out of me.
You'd bring back the witchcraft acts. But, like, I don't like them. They looked at me weird.
Yeah, throw them in prison.
So you wouldn't burn them?
No, because I suppose it depends. I think I might get a bit of a kick of torturing some of them. It depends who it is.
Okay. On that note.
Swiftly moving on.
Just so you don't go to jail. The witchcraft persecution began after the Reformation in Iceland, after a decree in 1564, which ordered all bailiffs to report all forms of hearsay to the authorities in order to establish religious conformity during the religious Reformation.
Right, okay.
So, again, it's Christians.
Yeah, so as soon as they start bringing Christianity in, we're getting a few issues.
Exactly. So it's basically you have to conform. You're different from what we know. But like they said, folk belief and folk magic and everything, that was so normal to them.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Christians come in, it's...
That's it. They're like bulldoze over it.
Exactly. So in the 16th century, witch trials were conducted in accordance with the old definition of sorcery.
Right.
In this definition, sorcery had nothing to do with the devil. It divided it into black magic and white magic. It regarded black magic as punishable only if it injured another person.
Right.
And even then, it didn't result in another person being executed.
Okay, so just imprisonment?
Yes, okay. Or exiled.
Okay.
So a typical Icelandic witchcraft case in the 16th century was that of a priest in 1554... who was sentenced to the loss of his office and exiled as punishment for having used black magic or evil galder from magic books in an attempt to entice a girl into sexual intercourse.
Oh.
So,
naughty boy.
He's a very naughty boy, seeing as he's a priest, and I don't think they should be...
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed
doing any... No, so your fault, you shouldn't have been a priest. But yeah. He wasn't killed or anything. He was
I guess it makes a change from them touching little boys, but...
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that condones it.
Also, from what I gather from just books, anything that to do with witchcraft, you can't make another love you.
No.
So, and also getting someone to try and have sex with you, it's probably a little bit against their will.
I feel like as a person that has no personality and they're just completely unattractive in general... And they're just trying so desperately hard that it's not working. And they're just trying anything now to get someone.
Yeah.
Like, they can't actually attract a person, so they have to use magic. Or
if anything, she's probably being good because she thinks it's probably morally wrong.
Yeah.
If he's a priest or that, she probably doesn't want him.
Yeah. I feel like he's a stinky old man.
Yeah, I feel like he's a really old man.
Yeah.
So in 1589, because Christianity was weak in Iceland, they obviously didn't believe in the Christian devil.
Right.
So this never entered the trials. However, belief in the devil and the Christian definition of witchcraft spread after the publication of the first witchcraft book by Gudmundur Einarsson in 1627 and in Paul Bjornson's character Beastie in 1630. And in 1630, Denmark introduced the Danish Witchcraft Act of 1617 on Iceland.
Sounds very Viking-y. I know it's the names.
I know. And they're very hard to pronounce. Because in most... I only knew this from Iceland, but I'm thinking it's most Nordic country, that if you... So what's your dad's name?
What surname or first name?
First name.
Simon.
So you would be Simon's daughter.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, so they had like Ragnar Ragnarsson. Yeah.
So if you are... Yeah. So... But if you are a boy, you would be Simonson.
Right. Okay.
So daughter, you, it's like daughter.
Okay.
So it's like to establish, so it's like, oh, who's this? This is Simon's daughter.
I guess it's a good way of like keeping the family, like the names in the thing.
I'm not sure what happens when you marry. I'm not sure if you become...
Or do you keep yours, but then your children, say if it's a boy, they then get the father's?
They will both... Both your kids will get your... Okay. So, but one would be like... So if you have a child with Brian... so your...
You have the baby with Brian.
So your son would be Brian's son.
Okay.
And your daughter would be Brian's daughter.
Okay.
Okay. So they won't have... None of you would have the same last name.
Okay.
Unless Brian is a Brian Brianson.
Okay.
So then your confusing. Son... So then your son would be whatever first name, Brianson. So right, that's okay. The only way that you would have the same last name.
Right, okay.
Sorry for using Brian as an excuse. Example.
Yeah, sorry, Granddaddy Brian.
So the Icelandic witch trials were uncommon in Europe because almost all were directed towards men. Between 1604 and 1720, there were 120 witch trials on Iceland, which resulted in 22 confirmed executions. Ooh. Between 1625 and 1685. The most intense period of persecution took place in between the years of 1667 and 1685.
So they're quite late on.
Yes. And like I said, it's slightly different because they're towards men. But
yeah.
The magic in Iceland tends to be by these men.
I was going to say, is the way they conducted it different in Iceland?
Because they are technically wise men.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll get into that. So of the 22 executed for sorcery, 20 of them were men and only 2 of them were women.
Okay.
The reason for this was the fact that magic openly performed in the Icelandic society had come to be associated with men. Prior to Christianity, women had performed magic, but during the Catholic Middle Ages, this changed as almost only men were accepted in the convents and Latin schools on Iceland, and their literacy gave them better opportunities to attain Volkni. These male magicians, or witches, were respectfully referred to as kunatmutur, which is wise men or cunning men.
Oh, okay.
And I probably brutal...
I really like it when they put, like, cunning men. Yes, I don't know. I know. It just sounds good.
It does. I do like it.
Who have you been associating with? Cunning men.
Cunning men. It is good. I like that magic is associated with these big, burly men.
Yeah.
Like with beards and maybe bald, or they're just full of hair, but like
full of hair.
But they're like the gentlest men because they're like cunning. Gentle giants. Yeah. So like I assume magic in like a not a soft way. I think you have to look within yourself and I think it takes a special type of person to do that.
I also imagine more like a rune that's like almost like the plants are like growing inwards, but there's like a massive stack of books, like there's just books open everywhere. And then like, obviously back for the time it would have been parchments with like a quill. Is that right?
Yes.
A quill. I just imagine that and there's just like some guy sat there just scribbling away all day, like making other things. And maybe you can have a little cauldron in the middle, but it's more like, it's not like bad magic. No.
I associate it with goodness.
Yeah, like people you're doing it for help.
A good reason. Yeah. Yes.
Like a form of research.
Yeah, because look, they're called wise men.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Cunning men is a little...
It's a bit cheeky. I kind of like it.
It's like, are you good or are you bad?
Yeah, I want to associate with some cunning men.
But to me, I think if you're doing it for good reasons and good intentions, I think it's good.
Yeah.
If you're trying to disrupt lives and stuff, no, it's clearly bad.
I don't know, there's a few.
But no.
I'll let you do all the white magic.
Okay, okay. All witchcraft executions stopped in Iceland after 1686, when a new law was passed by Denmark, which stated that all death sentences for sorcery were henceforth to be confirmed by the High Court in Copenhagen before they could be performed.
Oh, so that's quite similar, especially, you know, when you look at the French and the Spanish, that's what they did. The courts took over and it had to be approved before it could go to court, which I think is a better way of doing it because they're bringing it into a court of law rather than it being a secular court, which is where the terrible ones happened.
Exactly. I think, obviously, Denmark has not control, but some kind of control to do with Iceland at this time. So the Icelandic trials were related to the Finnish witch trials, as they were the only two that executed a majority of men rather than women. So I'll jump into the Finnish witch trials now.
Okay.
Much of the materials are missing, so the number of trials are basically unknown.
Okay.
Preserved documents state that 710 witch trials took place in Finland between 1520 and 1699.
Okay.
641 people were executed of sorcery. 325 of them were women, but of the 277 people executed for witchcraft, 133 of them were men.
Right, okay. So they're still quite different from the Icelandic in a way, in terms of the execution level, because Iceland barely executed.
Yeah, but I think that's because Iceland was open with magic anyway.
Okay.
Whereas Finland, I don't think it's as the same as it is in Iceland. It's just okay. I related them because it's the two like male witch trials.
Yeah.
That's basically why I connected the two. So a reason for this is another similarity to Iceland, as the traditional profession of a folk healer or conning folk and the practice of magic were attributed to men. The typical Finnish witch trial that was of a well-known conning man accused by a person of having harmed livestock or food by the use of magic. Witch trials were not unusual in 17th century Iceland, but they are very rarely led to death sentences. And again, in like Iceland, sorcery was not associated with the devil by people in general. Wise men usually hired to perform magic, so you could use them for anything you wanted.
Okay.
So if you, maybe if someone was ill, you probably go to them. If you wanted maybe good harvest.
Okay.
So you go to them for anything you'd want. So the first person executed for sorcery in Finland was probably Anne Olavintitar in 1526. The largest witch trials in Finland were the Kasuholm trials of Åland in the 1660s, when between 157 to 200 people were accused, of which at least 41 were executed. The witch hunt was influenced by the witch hunts conducted in Sweden and differed from ordinary Finnish trials, as they involved the pact with Satan, the witch's Sabbath, and child witnesses who claimed to have been abducted by the witches, and the majority executed were women, none of which were common in the Finnish trials. So these Kasuholm ones are the exception to the rule for Finland, where it's mostly women, it's a pact with Satan, it's witches' Sabbath, children being taken, and then to the Sabbaths, which isn't real. And then, so these ones are similar to the other European ones.
Yeah.
Whereas like the rest of the Finnish ones are similar to Icelandic, where it's mostly men. Similar to Sweden persecutions and executions for witchcraft, they pretty much died out after the big witch hunt of the 1670s. However, accusations and trials continued somewhat, as 22 people were charged in 1693 to 1697.
Okay.
The courts were unwilling to issue death sentences for sorcery after 1678, and usually a confession was often seen as insanity.
Oh, so that's a bit unusual in comparison to some of the others.
I think they're probably trying to, like, finally realise that if you think you're a witch, you're probably insane.
Yeah, a bit tapped in the head.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of them were still... I think we've lost by this point that element of people saying they are, because at the beginning, if you looked at them, if you agree to being a witch, like, it was better for you than not agreeing and going on trial, you definitely put to death. Those that confessed and said, oh, but I was brought in by so-and-so, they tended to get away with a prison sentence.
Yeah. Why can't they... Well, why didn't they, like... If you accuse someone of being a witch, why aren't you insane?
Yeah, no. But then again, at what point do you stop? Then it's a vicious circle. Then effectively everyone...
Is insane.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are.
They possibly are. Maybe.
But during this time, they probably are.
Yeah, with all the diseases going about.
Well, yeah. Well, think about it. You're accusing someone of being a witch. Might not exist.
Yeah. I just think it's just everything was mass hysteria then.
Yes. Which is crazy.
Yeah. And it's a case of, but is it the way everything was socially, is that what made it? Like, was a mass hysteria normal? Does it only seem so abnormal now because we're a bit, I don't know, are we more reasonable?
Well, we kind of had this conversation with, like, your autism and stuff, and, like, what's neurodivergent, what's
neurotypical.
Yeah, neurotypical.
Yeah, because
you can't define what's, quote, normal.
Because I always joke, like, I say, like, but what if after all this time, what if the autistic people are the normal ones and it's you neurotypicals that are actually wrong?
Yeah, because what's typical? What's...
Yeah, and but it's, for all we know, the neurotypical person is the ones that have predominantly been in charge. So they've just presumed they're normal. They've made them the normal, like the churches did with this. Like, the churches were right. Everyone else was wrong if you didn't believe in what they believed. So is that where it's come from? But I like to think, like, I think quite logically. So... to me, that's far more sensible and normal and the right way to do things if you're thinking logically than someone else that adds in all the emotions, because all the emotions start then distorting everything else. So actually me thinking logically, it's not the correct way. That sounds wrong. That's like saying everyone else is wrong. But I think in terms of tackling something... Oh, the chair.
I'm not going to edit that out.
It sounds like I just snapped the chair in half.
But yeah, thinking what you're on about with, like, thinking logically, it makes sense.
Yeah, and if you think in terms of tackling a problem,
yeah,
the person with the emotions, to me, is going to be far more delusional than the person that's looking at it logically.
Well, this is where I struggle with, like, if I'm on the spectrum or not, because I think logically, but I also bring emotion into it, so then maybe I'm like, a little bit, I don't know,
it's hard, because there's that, then there's that thing of, it's not that, like, autistic people don't have emotions, I think it's the way we interpret and express emotions are different.
Yeah,
but I think on a whole, most things, I look at, like, for me, like, things, it's like good or bad, there's not anything, I don't have an in between. It's good or bad, right or wrong, yes or no. There's no, obviously the middle bits do exist, but I don't really interpret them. Like, it's out of a thing. So for me, like, if I see something, like, wrong, until I'm proven that I am then wrong, it is wrong. If that makes sense. Yeah. I don't consider that other people have... Not that I don't consider that's not fair, but...
It's, you don't, like, think, like, grey areas?
Yeah.
Okay.
So to me, it's like, well, this is how it should be done. You, like, in terms of, like, creating rules, people create rules, doing them because... Yeah, but sometimes there's an exception in this circumstance, in this one. I think, well, why did you create the fucking rule in the first place? Don't tell me I have to follow the rules. But then not say there's any exceptions to the rule at the beginning of the time of telling me the rule.
Okay,
and then 6 months down the line go, oh yes, but in this circumstance. I think, no, you said follow the rules. I'm following the rules. You can't tell me off now because I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. You can't get pissed at me now because I haven't done it in your weird, fucked up, but in this circumstance, it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Because how am I supposed to know that in that circumstance, it doesn't apply? Unless you give me a whole long list of those things when you initially give me the rule.
Yeah.
To me, it's all right. And then if later you go, okay, like, it needs to be looked at this way, like, going forward, like, this is how we do it. It's like, okay, I won't do that again. But until you give me that piece of information, I followed the rule to the dot. I've done exactly what you've told me to do. I haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly. And I think that's maybe what can, in a way, links to the trial. Because, like, you're like, oh, this is how we get rid of witches.
So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, there is a big thing. Like, it, for me, it's not different now as an adult, but I've obviously had to learn there's a lot of things that, like, you don't take it how it is. But I think I'm massively sure. Obviously, I didn't really get it as a child, but you're a child anyway. But especially as you, when you're going into teenage years and, like, obviously, like, people, like, how they express things, like, changes slightly differently. But then also when they say things, they don't really mean those things. And that, for me, is where I'm massively, like, things got fucked up for me, because I genuinely couldn't distinguish between the bits that I was not supposed to believe and the bits that I am supposed to believe.
Oh,
and
you
the
mean
bits...
like sarcasm?
A bit, yeah, but also other things. You know when, like, people sort of say stuff and they're like, oh, well, I didn't really, like, mean it in that way.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, but then when people do say stuff and I go, oh, well, it wasn't meant in that way. And then someone goes, no, they did mean it in that way. And I'm thinking, okay, well, at what point do they mean it in that way? And at what point do they not mean it in that way? For me, if I say something, I say it, like, because I mean it, that's the thing. I don't say something but not mean it in that way. Do you know what I mean? I say what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't...
Yes, you do.
Which has been a hell of a lot of trouble. But do you know what I mean? I don't go... Oh, I can't really think of an example because I don't do it.
No, I know what you mean. Like,
I wouldn't go say that and then someone goes this and I go, oh, look, I said that, but I don't mean it in that way. I would say it in the way that I mean it.
Yeah.
So I just, I don't, where's, it's at almost what point like do you sarcasm. Cross over?
Yeah.
And I just, I don't get the whole point of that. To me, like, it's just confusing. I just don't get it. So a lot of time when someone says something to me, I'll go like, oh. Like, oh, is this what you meant? Like, if I'm not sure, I'll go like, is this what you meant? And then if they massively mean something different, I'm thinking, well, you could have just said it the other way because now you've confused me. And then that's where a lot of it for me, I tend to...
But that's, like, normal for them.
Yeah.
But does it mean it's neurotypical?
It's like with the whole girl thing. Like, I grew up, I had more friends that were boys. And, well, obviously, you know this as a girl. Like, boys, I find, or men, everyone pays money. If they're not interested in talking to you, they won't talk to you. And if they do, like, if they aren't interested in you, they will talk to you, blah, blah, blah. They'll include you stuff. They're a bit less fussy. Whereas girls deliberately go out of their way to include your stuff in you, to find shit on you, because they don't like you. Like, for me, like, men, obviously, there's always exceptions to the rule. But if men aren't interested in you, they just don't interact with you. Like, they'll be civil to you, but in terms of on a friendship level, they just don't interact with you. Whereas girls will deliberately try to be your friend to get shit on you, and I really don't get that concept.
I haven't had that. I have when girls don't like me from the start, just because, I don't know, they don't like how I look or something.
I have a lot of that as well, but I know a lot of girls, they'll deliberately go like, oh, you need to make, like, friends with her. So, like, if you try and do this and, like, be her friend and then find this information. I don't think I had it a lot because I was on the outside a lot and I can hear a lot of these conversations going on. But there was a lot of this deliberate thing, and then you'd see those girls being friends with someone else, and I'm sat there thinking, she's not really your friend. No. She doesn't actually like you, but they were doing it to get a bit of personal information so then they can use it against them. It's like, it's a constant agenda. And it's anything like, but think, well, of is it. Anyone your actual friend? Because kind of, that's it, all it makes me think.
It links to the witch trials, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, like, back in the day, they probably would accuse them of being a witch. It's just, I don't get that. I just, if someone doesn't like me, that's
fine.
That's fine. But you don't have to, like, start rumours or anything. Yeah, you don't have to pretend. We don't have to interact with each other. That's fine. You don't like me.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not going to try and make you like me or hate me any more or any less.
Yeah.
You've made your decision just on based on who you are.
Yeah. Like, for me, like, I'll always be, like, polite and civil to people. Like, especially, like, when you put yourself in, like, work situations, you've got no choice. You've got to say hello to everyone. But if I don't like the person, I just don't carry on the conversation. I say hello and keep walking.
Yeah.
That's it. I just don't engage in a conversation. Mm. And that for me is, if you don't like the person, you don't want to be friends with them, just don't talk to them. It's
like I said, these types, I think, would accuse people of being a witch just so they could get rid of them, maybe.
I mean, yeah. I
Which is kind of insanity and crazy.
I mean, to be fair, you didn't really need an excuse to be a witch.
No, discovered. That's what I'm saying. It's easy to get rid of people you want out
of the way. It was just a massive scapegoat and, I don't know, get rid of the person you don't really like sort of thing.
That's what I think it is. I think that's essentially what it is. You're getting rid of the stepmom, or you're getting rid of, like, a potential love rival or someone you don't like just because they looked at you weird or you looked at them weird.
Like, you can't marry them. They've got war.
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
They're a witch.
They're a witch. So the last person executed for sorcery in Finland was probably a man named Erkki Antin Poika. In 1689, the last Finnish witch trial took place in Turku when a merchant's daughter, Beata Pintarintaita.
Sorry.
I probably completely butchered that. I'm so sorry. And Beata was accused of evil magic by 20 witnesses and sentenced to death after a body search revealed a bag on her body. And this was considered proof. Now, I'm not sure what was in the bag, but I think...
Oh, an actual bag. I didn't know if you meant, like, some weird skin pouch.
No, it was, like, a bag.
Okay.
And maybe, I don't know if it was, like, maybe had little runes or something. Oh. There was nothing that, like, was in this bag that I'm aware of.
Arsenic in it.
What?
Arsenic.
Oh. The execution was repealed to prison by the Court of Appeal, and she was released in 1701.
Oh.
So, yes, I'm not sure when she was put in jail because, like, there was barely any information on this. So
I think a lot of them, it was pretty much as soon as they were accused, they're just thrown in, aren't they? Even before trial.
Yeah, so the last execution happened in 1689 and Beata was, like, the last one accused and released in 1701. And then that's when the trials seem to have ended in Finland.
Oh, it's very interesting.
Hmm. So, yeah, they're the ones that are mostly male, but that's because wise men and cunning men.
I do really like the cunning men thing.
There was socially accepted beforehand, and then Christianity came in, tried to conform everyone.
Yeah, and that's where the trials.
But I think mostly in Iceland, definitely, that the magic remained and is still there today.
Yeah, it's quite nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, when you look across the rest of Europe, it was just a bloodbath.
Yeah. Which I think is good, because Iceland is... It's probably safe, because like I said, it feels like it's at the end... Well, it's at the top of the world, so it's like it's isolated, it's safe, it's...
It's like its own little haven, isn't
it? And I think that's why the magic remained. I think the country itself is magic, and like I've spoken to you a little bit about their belief in the hidden folk.
It's got like its own little charm, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Yes.
Do need a holiday, but I need some money first.
This is why I wanted to do the Icelandic ones, because I feel connected to it in a way.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I thought it was very interesting.
Thank you.
Can we be cunning women?
Yes, I think so.
Let's be cunning women.
I think, well,
that does make you sound a bit evil, though, to be fair. Who are you? I'm a cunning woman.
Well, this is the, because we're doing all this research into witches and stuff, I'm looking into, like, different aspects and, like, which one I feel more connected to.
This is it. Like, I've obviously always liked witchy things. Yeah. And, I've looked into it, but I think that's another big thing, like, researching into it. Yeah. Being, like, do I actually want to look into it more? Like, I've always liked the idea of it, but I think there's also a lot of it, when you look at modern day, it's more like an aesthetic, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I love the aesthetic of it, but I also like, in a way, I do believe in magic. I do believe in all that. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. But I think it's kind of science we haven't figured out.
Yeah.
So I think it's real. That's
what it is real. And for me, most of it is science-based. I know it's by saying that it takes away the magic, but I effectively, to me, that's what I kind of see witches as scientists. Yeah. Just a lot of the stuff they know is ahead of other people. And maybe not so much today.
Yeah, and in a way, look at it. They use like natural things.
Yeah.
Like the earth, fire, herbs.
Yeah.
It's natural things.
Bringing those things together with like old. It's like as well. And they don't use the old stuff, because that's what happens with a lot of new things now. Like, we find something new and we try to make it better, we forget about the old stuff. And I think a lot of the witchcraft stuff, it keeps the elements of the old and brings it in with the new. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. I think that's what maybe gives it the air of magic, maybe.
Mm. Yeah. I think it also connects us to the past. Which
I like. Yeah. I like a lot of history stuff.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, they're just like science and history people.
Yeah, with cool essentially. Hats. Essentially.
Yeah, with cool hats and pets.
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of this. Little papers flapping.
I don't know. I'm just like, can we hear that? We've got a little friend in here.
You have. It's your. It's a dead witch. She's joining in.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
She agreed.
Okay.
I don't know what's her name going to be.
Agnes. It's always an Agnes.
It is always an Agnes.
Agnes. Yeah.
Or an Elizabeth.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's us done for this episode. Yes.
So
in the meantime,
thank you for listening.
In the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.